Let's look again at Romans 8, beginning in verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He's talking in verse 35 about anything that could separate us from the love of Christ. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. So he's talking about the challenges and the dangers and the hardships of life. And he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we're going to focus in at verse 38 there, where it says, neither the present nor the future can separate us from the love of God. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to do a little survey here, and it's okay to be either one. Let's just see what the crowd is. You know, you have your people where the glass is half full, and you have your people where the glass is half empty. You know what I'm talking about? So how many of you are half full people? The glass is half full. All right? Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. And how many of you are half empty? The glass is half empty. Okay, we have a few honest ones in here. Oh my goodness. For people on tape, one lady just called down her husband and said, put your hand down. All right, never mind. Oh, what's that? Okay, there you go. All right, that's a good one. So we go through life, and the ups and downs and the hardships and the troubles of life affect us in various ways. You know, I think what God is saying, you know, we need to be more, the cup is half full, and look with it with a more optimistic and positive. But we're not always wired that way. A lot of us see dangers, and we feel the pain, and so it's neither right or wrong, but God wants us to get to where we can have that more than conqueror spirit, to know that even though there is the pain, there is the suffering, there is the obstacle, I can, through Christ, become an overcomer, become a conqueror. And so what we're looking at, and what Mario did last week, is we're looking at the three realms of life. We live life in the past, present, and future. And it just so happens, God, through the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, covers all three. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're cleansed from the past. We're forgiven. God forgives and forgets our sins. We can leave that old past behind. Through the Holy Spirit, we can live in the present. We can live in the now. The Spirit helps to guide us and encourage us and help us to live. We're not alone in this. Romans 8 says the Spirit is there even in our weaknesses. Even in the times we don't know what to say to God. The Spirit is there to help us and to intercede for us. And is a deposit guaranteeing our ultimate delivery. And then God is the one who secures our future. God is the one that is the promise keeper. God gives us hope, and God gives us heaven, and God gives us the courage to move on. And so the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ the Son covers all of these three realms, past, present, and future. Today we're talking about considering the present. And notice on your outline, here's the truth that we're going to look at. This present life is filled with challenges. Could I have an amen to that? Amen. This life is filled with challenges. Challenges aren't always life-threatening or life-shattering. Sometimes they are. But life is filled with challenges. Our home group has been going through the book of James, just looking at some of the traits of what it takes to be a mature Christian. And in chapter 1, he addresses two things, trials and temptations. And the mark of a mature Christian is one who can maintain their faith and stability through trials, which come from without, and temptations, which come from within. The Bible says in James that the temptations come from your own evil desires. And so hardships and trials and temptations, there's this element of life. Sometimes life is simple, sometimes life is a little more complex. But we need to understand there's these things that happen from within us and the things that happen from without. And either way, they are challenges and many times come in the form of hardships. I want to look at just five areas, how they come in the form of this morning. We'll hit each of these quickly because I want to spend more time on the application. But just to show you how tough life can be sometimes, challenges or hardships come in the form of, number one, sin and temptation, or we can put in the blank, spiritual challenges. Proverbs 29:1 says, "For people who hate discipline and only get more stubborn, there comes a day when life tumbles in and they break." Now, discipline, as Solomon uses it in the book of Proverbs, is not necessarily that dreaded word that we use. And like Larry was talking about today, we need to discipline ourselves and we discipline our children and all of that. The discipline that Proverbs is talking about is walking in the Lord. To discipline your ways and to follow the ways and the teachings of the Lord. To follow His commands and to live a life of wisdom. And if someone is not willing to follow that life of Jesus Christ, that life of God, we hate discipline and we only get more stubborn. The Bible says there comes a day when life tumbles in and we break. I just sent to the publisher, I've been trying to get this book finished for a long time. But my second book, it'll be here hopefully in 5 or 6 weeks. But it's called The Battle Zone. We looked at this a year or so ago on the series called The Battle. But there's a battle going on with each of us, and it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle for your soul. It's sometimes called spiritual warfare. And so in this book, we're looking at how can you defend yourself against Satan, and then how can you sometimes go on the offense against Satan to take the kingdom and the message of Christ to the world. But understand, life is a battle zone, and there are many spiritual challenges that come our way, often in the form of hardships or particularly challenges. Number two, life is lived with pain and suffering. These are the physical challenges. Psalm 119, 153, "Look upon my suffering and deliver me." And I was talking to Ed McCravey on Friday, and we had this long chat, and he was feeling pretty chipper. I think it was the medicine talking a little bit, but he was talking about this is his second knee replacement and some other stuff that he'll have to go through and all of this. And he said, "You know, Wayne, this getting old isn't for the weak." And I gave an amen. It's not for the weak. And so as we get older, our bodies decay. They sometimes break down, and challenges come. In the past week, I've had my challenges, and Carol has her challenges, and Kathy falls through the attic, and Ed has knee replacement surgery, and Noelle's uncle has cancer, and, you know, in just a week in a small congregation like this, any given week, it's a reminder that this body's not going to last forever. And so with physical challenges comes pain and suffering. It can be a challenge to one's faith. And so some are living in the now with pain and suffering. Number three, life is filled with challenges in the form of failure and defeat. These are what I call mental challenges. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, "Even at night, the mind does not rest." Maybe some of you can relate to that. And you know, I don't know that all of our failures in life are really failures, but to us, they're failures. And we sometimes are harder on ourselves than other people. But we sometimes feel like defeat. You go to the job interview, you didn't get the job. How do you feel? You feel kind of defeated. You feel like, well, I was a failure. If you go through a divorce, you feel like a failure. If your kids don't turn out the way you wanted them to, you feel like a failure. If this stage in life, you're not where you want to be in every angle of life, and even with the career and the financial support, and you know, you're just not where you need to be and where you meant to be, you sometimes go through these feelings of failure. And when you feel defeated, you feel deflated. And the feeling of defeat saps your energy. It makes you less motivated sometimes. And it can come over into your life with the mental anguish, into depression and anxiety and worry and fear and guilt and just all the things that attack the mind. And so we live in this world. It's a fallen world. It's not a perfect world. There's going to come a perfect world. But right now we're living in this fallen world where there's pain and suffering, where there's defeat and failure. And so the mental and the physical and the spiritual. And then let's add number four, hurts and rejection. These are the emotional challenges. 1 Peter 2:4 says, Jesus was rejected by men, but chosen by God. You know, I think sometimes the hurts and rejections that come from other people, out of these five, in some ways may be the most painful. Have you ever loved someone and didn't get that love in return? Have you ever tried to help someone and it was never appreciated? Nothing was ever reciprocated in any way? You know, life is such that we have these relationships with one another, but it's really tough when you go through life. But you know, just look at that passage. Jesus was what? Rejected by men, but chosen by God. And let's just underscore, to be a conqueror, you have to understand, I am chosen by God. And I'll work to be more accepted by men and to help. But when men and women let us down, there comes that emotional hardship that is really painful, really hard to overcome. And then the fifth one is greed and debt. I'm sure none of you can relate to this one. But these are the financial challenges. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. When it comes to financial challenges, you ever been guilty of some poor decisions? Reminds me of the story of the guy that liked to visit the racetrack, the horses, bet on the horses. And one day he went down into kind of the staging area, the parade area, before they went to the gate. And he noticed a Catholic priest was down there blessing this horse and putting a little holy water on his head. And he thought, what is he doing? And then he noticed the horse won the race. And that intrigued him, so he went back a little bit later for another race. And the Catholic priest put the holy water on this horse, and the horse won the race. He thought, wow, I'm onto something. So he went back before the final race of the day, and saw the Catholic priest do the holy water on the horse's head and the side and the back and the legs and just blessing him all over. And the guy went in and withdrew all of his savings and put all of his money on that horse. The final race, the bell rang, the horses went around the oval, and halfway through the horse dropped dead. Man, this guy lost everything. He was so upset, he found that Catholic priest. He said, I want to know what in the world happened to that horse that I saw you bless. And the priest said, that's the problem with you Protestants. You don't know the difference in giving a blessing and giving last rites. And sometimes we just don't know how to deal with our finances. And so we make these poor decisions, and we bet the farm on something and the investment goes bad, or I lose a job, or I just get over indebted and I don't have enough money to pay all the bills at the end, and I keep getting farther and farther behind. And what does that do? It causes you, you know, you can relate to this passage. The money just brings trouble and nothing but trouble. And pretty soon you can lose your footing in the faith if you're not careful. Now look at our list here, because we've covered five areas of life. It's not all the areas of life where hardships come, but it pretty well covers most of life where hardships and challenges come. They come in the form of spiritual challenges, physical challenges, mental challenges, emotional challenges, and financial challenges. Now, this isn't in your notes, and it's real short, but somewhere right these three things, because when you get to this point, you have three choices. When these kind of hardships pile up, you're going to get to your wit's end. you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, there's three things you can do. Number one, you can give up. Number two, you can give in. Or number three, you can give it all you got. So I want you to think about that, because this is really what we're talking about in this series. Number one, you give up. That's being a quitter. You just give up on life. You give up on God. You give up on family. You just give up. And some people get to that point. But more likely, most people just give in. And that's the survivor mode. I'll just do what I can to survive. I'm just going to hang on till life is over. And most people don't live their life in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of God's blessings, but they live it in just a survivor mode. I'm just here surviving, doing the best I can. And so you just give in to life. But I believe God wants you to take it a step further into the conqueror mode, and that's give it all you got. Give it all you've got. You have to understand that pain and suffering and hardships and all of these things are part of life. There will be times in life where you don't see much of this at all, and other times when it just seems like it inundates you. But you have to be the type of person that, by the power of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give it all I've got. Now here's two applications. There's many things that we could apply this lesson to. But here's two that resonate with me, and hopefully it'll resonate with you. Number one, with the Holy Spirit, I can conquer discouragement. I can conquer discouragement. I don't know how you are, but when life hits me hard, and sometimes it's in those areas where I feel kind of like a failure, feel kind of defeated. I wish I were this. I wish I were that. I wish I'd done this better. In those moments, I know Satan's greatest tool with me is the tool of discouragement. And you can just kind of get defeated. And this is where you need encouragement for the Lord. You know, it's like I can conquer discouragement. And the thing that I need in place of discouragement is courage. And so I have to look for the courage. I want to read to you Joshua 1. If you want to turn over there, you can follow along. But I want to read to you something that was fairly typical and fairly common as far as biblical charges in Old Testament times. But here's the time when Moses is not going to enter the promised land, but Joshua is going to lead the people on the march into the promised land. In Joshua 1, it says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.'" Now, get a little glimpse into the heart of God. You may feel inferior and lacking, but God's going to give you what you need in this present life, okay? He says, "Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west." And then he says, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." In other words, Romans 8:37, you will be more than a conqueror. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." God is a promise keeper. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And then here's what he says to Joshua: "Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And then he says, "Have I not commanded you?" And here he goes again: "Be strong and courageous." Three times. And it's kind of like, Joshua, did you hear me? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if you were to take a concordance and look up some of these phrases, you'll see them scattered and repeated in other Bible stories, particularly in the Old Testament. The message back then was, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God will fight for you. God is with you. God will make you more than a conqueror. And so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. And on goes the beautiful story of the conquest of the land of Canaan, the fulfillment of God's promise. But it starts with be of courage. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Discouraged means you're giving in to fear and you're putting too much emphasis on yourself, because God's going to fight for you. When you feel discouraged, it's all about you and not about what God's going to do through you. The other passages, for example, Philippians 1:20 talks about having sufficient courage. I thought that was kind of interesting. Have sufficient courage, because sometimes when you feel discouraged, you're feeling like, I just don't have the courage that I see in other people. I see the warrior, of God. I see people in our church that know how to live victoriously, and I just don't have that. I don't have that world-class ability to be courageous and to be bold and to be faithful. And I like this, just say, have sufficient courage. It's that give it all you got. It may not be perfect. It might not be what someone else has. But quit comparing yourself to other people. Just give it all you've got. Have sufficient courage. In the Hebrew passage there, it talks about just hold on to the courage and the hope. God is so good to give us hope. And right now, life in this present is about holding on to the courage and knowing that God is going to deliver us. But again, Satan's greatest tool for many of us is the tool of discouragement. When life comes at you hard and heavy. The second application I want to make today is with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can overcome aimlessness. Aimlessness. What happens is when life hits us hard, we sometimes lose our focus. We get inward focused. We get self-focused. And we forget what God has in store for us. We forget God's plan for us. Satan can use this very much to get us off of what we're aiming for, what our purpose in this life is. And when you lose purpose, you become aimless, and life just piles up with more of these things in the first 5 points. And so with the Holy Spirit, I can conquer aimlessness. Notice on your message outline, it says from 2 Corinthians, now it is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So God has made us for a purpose. You're not on earth as an accident. You're on earth with a purpose, and God has given you the Holy Spirit to help fulfill that purpose. And God says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing your eternal salvation. God's going to secure your future. We're going to talk about that next week. But right now, the Holy Spirit is here, and He's interceding for you, and He's encouraging you, and He's guiding you, and He's there to help you to overcome any aspect of aimlessness and to stay focused on the purpose for which God has made you in this world. Listen to this passage, a little longer reading of it from the message. Just listen, because it has a beautiful way of talking about this world and the world that we're going to talk about next week, the future. He says, for instance, we know when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they'll be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, in other words, going to heaven. So we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here on this earth seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. And that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange our exile on this earth for a homecoming. But neither exile nor homecoming is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do. That's our purpose. Regardless of our conditions. Sooner or later, we're all going to have to face God. Regardless of our conditions, we'll appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a reward of our actions, either good or bad. I love the contrast there that this life is just like we're living in a temporary tent. And some days we'll fold it away and we'll go on to glory. But while we're here, you know, there's no comparison to this world and the world to come, but we live in this world and we think this is it. But God says, no, there's something far better. And so he says, whether you go on or whether you stay here is not the question. What are you doing with what you got? What are you doing with right now? What are you doing with the opportunities of today, this day? Regardless of what you see on the front of the bulletin, it's March the 6th, all right? Now everyone's looking at their bulletin to see the error that somebody made when they put the bulletin out. But what are you doing right now? The object is to cheerfully please God in the now. And when you cheerfully please God in the now, your future is secure. Therefore, we are more than conquerors through God who loves us. So here's the thing. We've said this over and over, but again, I just need to call it to our attention. Why are you here? Why, for some of us older ones, has God let you live this long? Why? What's your purpose? What are your objectives? What is your aim in life? One of the most frustrating things to do is to get to a point of life where you don't have anything to live for. You're aimless in your pursuits. And you just kind of exist and survive day to day. Live with purpose. God has uniquely made you for specific purposes. We're all here to glorify God. But how do you glorify God? How can you do that? What are the unique traits that you bring, the unique talents and skills that you bring? What are the unique ways in which you can serve? What are the unique opportunities that God brings maybe to only you? Are you in touch with that? You need to be. As to why am I here, to where every day when I wake up, I realize this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I want to live God to the fullest. Live for God to the fullest. And that brings us to our conclusion here this morning. The seven declarations, and I've been giving these out one week at a time, but I'm just going to go ahead and finish them even though we have one more Sunday. So fill in number five. My present is filled with purpose. My future is secure. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror. Now, if you haven't memorized these and you just got these last three, we're going to do just a little rehearsing here, okay? Because here's seven declarations, and here's what I'd like for you to do. Because you may be feeling good today, your health is good, your finances are in order, your family's great, you have a great job, and just, you know, and I'm describing most of you, right? But everything is going well. But there's going to come a time when life gets tough. And so when hardships, in whatever form, come, here are seven things that you need to say. In fact, I would suggest that you make a little list of these. The best thing is to memorize them. But maybe if you are forgetful, make a little list, put it on your mirror every morning when you go, before you leave. Or put it on your refrigerator. Or put it on the dash of your car. Something like that. And then it would be a wonderful daily exercise just to say these things. When faced with hardships, let's say them together. Number one, Jesus is the solution. Number two, the Holy Spirit is my helper. Three, God is promise keeper. Four, my past is cleansed. Being is what? Been cleansed. Okay. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't know. No. My past has been cleansed. Number five, my present is filled with purpose. Number six, my future is secure. And number seven, therefore, I am more than a conqueror. All right, let's just all look at it. I didn't do very good there myself. But let's say these out loud and say them with feeling. When I'm faced with hardships, let's just forget the numbers and let's just say them. When I'm faced with hardships, Jesus is the solution. The Holy Spirit is my helper. God is the promise keeper. My past has been cleansed. My present is filled with purpose. My future is secure. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for just the blessings of the present, that you allowed us to wake up today, to breathe your air, to experience the freshness of the rain outside, and to live in your beautiful and wonderful world. You've given us a body that the Bible says when we were born was fearfully and wonderfully made. And even though our body may be a little lacking in some areas, we're grateful to be alive. And God, fill us with the purpose that we need. Help us to fight off the shackles of discouragement and live with courage and boldness and purpose and power and love and joy and peace and just to live a powerful life for you. God, help us to lift up our spirits and live as a conqueror, that even people around us will note the particular demeanor that we have about life, that regardless of what happens, and there'll be times when we are in tears and in pain and suffering and really feeling the weight of this world. But God, through our faith in you, help us to know you are a promise keeper. Jesus is the solution. And the Holy Spirit's going to help us get through all of these hardships. Help us to claim that promise so that we can live as more than a conqueror. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.